You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? I must admit that when I hear these words and when I read them yet again for you this morning, they give me pause. They give me pause because there are so many ways in which I live my life that I keep people from knowing everything about me. I keep people from knowing my fears because I don't want to seem like I'm not in control. I keep people from knowing my true thoughts because I don't want to either offend them or say something rude. I don't want people to know, you know, just really how crazy I can be at times with certain people in my life. Other pastors even. I don't always want people to know everything about me. While I may be a little more of an open book than a lot of you, it is the truth. It's the truth that we spend an awful lot of our time, I think, holding things a little closer to the vest than, you know, maybe other people would want. And that's a place of self-preservation, and it's real and it's honest and it's okay. We all need to do that. I do think the people that tell me way too much more than I really wanted to know, that kind of annoys me as well. Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, let me tell you. Do you have an hour? I'd like to tell you how I'm doing." No, if they did that, you'd be like, "Whoa, wait a minute. That's not the social protocol that we've all agreed to in our culture, right?" But the reality is we do spend an awful lot of our time trying to keep things at bay. So there's a part of me that when I read this, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" That causes me pause because I realize that all of those things that I keep from you, those things that I keep from the people that I care about, those things that I keep even from myself, or try to at least, I cannot and never will be able to keep those from God. I can't hide from God. God knows them all. And you know, there's a sense in which that gives me pause, but there is also a sense in which that in some weird way frees me. I have been, I don't know about you, but anybody here like to get a show they really like on Netflix or something, and just like binge watch a bunch of shows in a row? Okay, I love that. I love that. I told the story at first service that I got into that because when we were waiting for Noah to be born, we knew that we were going to have this long time of labor, or at least we anticipated that. And I said, "Well, I need to find a show that we can watch together." And so I thought that it'd be really good for Heidi and as we were preparing for our first child to watch, you know, extended periods of the show 24. That's the one that I thought would be great. She didn't agree, so we didn't watch it. So I had to wait till after the baby to watch it. But I finally did, and I'll never forget. I started watching. I said, "Well, I'll watch a show," and then like 5 hours later, all right, that happened. And so I like to do that. Well, recently I've gotten into a show. It's a political show, I've watched some other shows in the past. A show about this motorcycle gang, which was crazy, and watched that one. But all of these shows have the same thing that happens. People lie a lot. People keep lies hidden. And what has invariably happened in all of these shows is that eventually the truth comes out and it's bad. Really bad. And there's more lies on top of that, and there's more tricks. And then I'm thinking, you know, we're not that bad, and there's not that many bad things in my life like that. However, there are other little things that I keep hidden about myself because that's just what we do. And how much of a gift then is it to be able to read these words and say, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And know that I can't do that with God, so now I can be open, free. Be who I am before my Almighty Savior. And know that God is, while not okay with every choice I made, I'm sure that my little responsibility chart up in heaven has a few bad black marks on them. But I do know this. Just as the parent sees those black marks on their child's responsibility chart at the refrigerator at home and still loves them more than life itself, that's what my God does for me and what our God does for you too. You see, the mask we put up, the way we live with each other, in some ways the way we have to, we don't have to with God. The God who sees us as we are, loves us enough to leave us there, but still remains committed to us. The God who fearfully and wonderfully made us. And I wonder if those words are in particularly chosen. Because I wonder when God was fearfully making us, God knew those days that would be dark. God knew those moments where we would not be our best selves and our better angels would not have guided our choices. But our God also knows that we are wonderfully made. We are wonderfully made because our God has created us and will be with us and walk with us so that there is no hell. There is no struggle. There is no pain, no shame that is beyond God's presence. Our reading says this: "If I ascend to heaven, you are there." In our moments of blessedness, in our moments of living as God would want us to live, we know God is there. Those are the moments where our arms and all the hair on our arms are sticking up because we are just so moved by the way the Spirit is working in our lives. But then it also says, "And if I make my bed in Sheol, in hell, then you are there." Our God is the God who is not afraid of our hells. When we read the creed, we say the creed each week, we say that He descended into the dead. But if you look at the bottom, it also says He descended into hell. I kind of like that better. I kind of like knowing that God's not afraid of my hell. It's not that He descended to the dead. See, He descended to hell. He descended to my shame and my pain and my struggle and those moments where I don't even know if I want to live another day. Our God descended there and He is the power and the victor over all of that. That means that I can live yet another day in the promise of what He's given me. Because my God knows everything about me and loves me enough to go into my hells and then guide me and lead me through them. See, I think that's the powerful message that we get when we seek to follow this God of ours, this God in Christ who has come near, the God who has descended to our experience so that we might know it fully. And the only thing we have to offer other people about that, we can tell them to come hear our great music. We can tell them to come meet the incredible people that are part of our church. But really what we're doing is we're inviting them to come to see the God who has come near and will not and has not and promises never to abandon them. The God who's not afraid of their hells either. The God who will be there for them always. That's what we invite people to come and see. That's what Nathaniel and Philip and all the first disciples figured out. That they are coming to see the one who loves them unconditionally and will give them the hope they need to live their lives. Our reading ends this way. "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, which is funny, as if there's not. And lead me in the way everlasting. We're free. You're free. We're free to come to God as is. We are embraced as is. We are loved as is. But the beauty of God is that God then gives us a new vision of who we are. So that as we sang in that first song, will you love the you are if I but call your name? Well, your name has been called and you can love the you are because our God loves you too. And that's enough for the God who has known us completely to love us. That's enough for you to love you and the one beside you and the one you meet tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.